Good morning. Scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Once again, that's the book of John, chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. And it reads, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Yes. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and the hearers of his word.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
It's good to see you, and I'm thankful to be here always. It's good to come and worship God. We know that he desires that we do it in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. In fact, in verse 23, Jesus says, you know, the hour is coming when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spiritual being, therefore we have to approach him a certain way. God is a holy being, therefore we have to have the right attitude. We have to do it with sincerity if we're going to approach him. And God has revealed his will to us, which means that we're going to have to do it according to his truth and not our own. So we're thankful to God that we can do just that, worship him in spirit and in truth. We're delighted to have any visitors that may be with us. If you're visiting with us, we're thankful for your presence. We appreciate you very much. You certainly have made our day this morning. When we come here and we see those who have come to grace us with their presence, we are always delighted to have you. And we always want to offer to you the invitation to ask any questions in reference to the Bible, and let us be of a service to you in answering that Bible question with a Bible answer. We want to make sure that you understand what God would have you to do to be saved. We also want to help you to appreciate how you need to live before him. That, my friends, have been revealed to us in Scripture. And so if we can help you and assist you in any way or anything you hear being preached, please don't hesitate to write down those questions and allow us to assist you in that manner. You know, I was thinking about great men and women who have lived on the earth. And the reason I say great, not that they are more important than anyone else, but because they can make some great claims. They have contributed things to humanity that you and I, even to this day, benefit. We benefit from many things that great and extraordinary people have done. And so there are some people who can make some great claims, you know, and depends on what it is, but you know, there are some individuals, we might not consider some things great, but some individual could say, you know, I did that, or I am responsible for that. Little Richard claims that he is responsible for rock and roll. I don't know how good that is one way or another, but he claims that I was the first. If you listen to him, he'll tell you, I'm the first, I'm the only, and all those kind of things. Well, he's making some claims, you know, and there are some folks who have invented things, and they can say, you know, that I did this, I did that, and surely some of these things have been great, great in their contributions to humanity. But there is one who makes some claims like no other. There is a man who lived in this life. He is the God-man, and he was the man who came down from heaven and came to this earth for the purpose of expressing his Father's will. In John 6:38, Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And while he was here, he made some claims. And I want to talk about those claims, because there has never been, nor will there ever be again, anyone who can make the claims of Jesus the Christ. I mean, when you think about it, some folks can make some real claims about some things that they accomplished while they was here on this earth. And some people even living today can say, hey, I'm responsible for this. I did this and I did that. But it's to their glory. And certainly when Christ makes a claim, it is to his glory, but it also is to our glory. You think about the claims of Jesus, you and I benefit from every claim that the Master has ever made. And we can benefit in a wonderful way.
let's talk this morning, if you will, about the seven claims of Christ. The seven claims of Christ. This is based on the I am statements that's recorded in the book of John. Look at John chapter 6, if you will, and let's notice the first claim. John chapter 6, we'll notice verse number 35. How does it read, Brother Craig?
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life.
Read right there. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. My friends, here is the claim. He is saying that he is the bread of life because he gives life to dead sinners. You and I ought to be thankful to God that Jesus can make the claim that I am the bread of life. John records this about Jesus in John 5 and verse number 25. These are the words of Jesus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So talking in reference to those people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, Jesus says they are going to hear my voice through the gospel that will be preached, the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ coming into this world to live and to die for humanity. He says they will hear my voice through that gospel that will be preached, and they that hear with the intentions of obeying will live. My friends, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And it's interesting that he makes that statement, because in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, upon being tempted by the devil, Jesus says to the devil himself, he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. My friends, men are dead in their trespasses and sin, and whatever they find in this world to feed upon tends to death. Anything you find in this world tends toward death when it comes to the spiritual man living within you. You can't find your own thoughts. You can't engineer your own ways to God. You cannot follow human philosophy and find a right and a proper relationship with God. You cannot do it based on science and all of these kind of things. The only way to find a proper relationship with God is through the word that he has revealed. And that word is Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the substance that if you imbibe me, you can live. My friends, let me tell you something. The Bible says there's a way in the man that seemeth right. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And I like what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23 when he says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. If you try to find God outside of Christ, my friends, you are barking up the wrong tree. You will not find God. You will not have a relationship with him. You cannot be right with him until you find Christ. But how do you find Christ? Not by sitting here waiting on something to happen to you. Not by sitting here waiting to have a fit or a convulsion. Not by sitting here waiting to see some kind of manifestation or some kind of miracle. Not by hoping that you're going to see some kind of bright light. Not by some kind of coincidence or some kind of sign. The only way to find Christ today is to find him through the word that he has revealed. That's it and that's all, my friends. And when an individual finds that, he can then feed upon the bread of life that is going to give him life. Christ is the only true bread that gives life. As one feeds upon his word. If you don't feed upon the word of life, my friends, you can't find life. And John reveals him as the eternal Logos. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. He says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made which was made. And notice this. In him, what? That word was life. The very word that you can't live without. The very word that sustains and gives life. It is the very word when God spoke things into existence in the very beginning, he spoke his word and his word went out and created the material universe. Well, the Bible says that word became flesh. John chapter 1 and verse number 14. and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I'm glad that Jesus says, I am, because by Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, that word in the Greek is emphatic, which means I am and no other. I am the bread of life, and no other is the bread of life. There is no other you can go to that's going to give you life. You can't go to your preacher to get life. You got to go to Christ. You can't get to heaven on somebody else's coattail. Christ. That's the only way. You are going to have to go to the one that is known as the bread of life. And I'm glad what Peter said in John chapter 6, because John got it all recorded for us. In John chapter 6 and verse number 68, when Jesus saw his disciples leaving him as he discussed eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, they should have understood this in a spiritual sense, but they didn't. They took those words literally and thought this was a hard doctrine. Who can really receive or hear these things? Well, when they went away, Jesus turns to those disciples and he says, will ye also go away? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast what? The words of eternal life. Peter understood there was only one. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am, and no other is the bread of life. And no wonder then Jesus could actually express a benefit for those who would hunger and thirst after righteousness. What Jesus is talking about when you think about the benefit, because every claim made by Jesus, you and I receive a benefit from that claim. What is his claim? I am the bread of life. Read the second part of that verse. I am the bread of life, and what? He that cometh to me shall never, what?
He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
Uh-huh.
He that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Jesus is talking about what he can do for the soul of a man. He is the only substance upon which one can satisfy his soul, the cravings of the soul. If you have an insatiable desire to be holy, if you have a desire to be righteous, my friends, Jesus is the only one that can satisfy that hunger. There are some folks who are looking. There are some folks who are searching. There are some folks who know that there is something amiss in their lives spiritually. Oh, they're fine physically. They look just like you and I. They go to work every day. They make and earn a living. They are educated. They have a lot of things going for them, but they recognize that something is missing in their spiritual life. They want to be better internally. They want to change. They want to be right with God. They don't have, something is missing, and they know something is missing. Well, that's what I'm talking about, and that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about that hungering of the soul that nothing on earth can satisfy. Nothing. Except the word of God, that eternal logos, that is Jesus, when that soul that's craving righteousness, that craves to be holy, that craves to be godly, when that soul is craving that, my friends, he need looks no further than the word of God, the bread of life, to give him life and sustain that soul. So Jesus in Matthew 5:6 pronounces a blessing on those who hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. They hunger and thirst after righteousness, and he says they shall be filled. They shall be fulfilled. They literally shall be satisfied. This means that once one is in a right relationship with Jesus, he will find satisfaction that is everlasting. Jesus is an absolute necessity if you want to live eternally. You need to feast upon the word of God. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. That's one claim. But look at the benefit for you and me. But notice another claim. Jesus claims to be the light of the world. Look at John 8 and notice verse number 12. Here's the second claim. And you know I'm not going to do all seven this morning. So come on, John 8 and verse number 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, wait a minute. Here's the claim. He says, I am the light of the world. There is only one light. You know what God did with the material creation? He took a great light and he put it up there and told it just hang there on nothing for the purpose of lighting up this world. And there's only one such light that has that purpose. You know what light that is? It's the sun. Sunlight. And that sun, one sun, hangs there and lights or illuminates the entire world. Well, think about that in a spiritual sense and then understand what Jesus is saying. Again, I am the light of the world. I am and no other is the light of the world. There's only one light of the world that has the purpose of illuminating all of mankind, all of humanity, and that is Jesus the Christ. And Jesus makes his claim to be the one light that's needed for everyone. Can you imagine what a dungeon this world would be without the light of the sun? What a dungeon this place would be. Obviously, we couldn't survive. But just imagine if we could just cut off the light and we still could have enough heat and all those kind of things to survive. Just imagine how dark and gloomy this place would literally be without that sun. And imagine man's condition spiritually if the one true light does not come into the world. Oh, a lot of wonderful people, a lot of great, extraordinary individuals have came to this earth and lived on this earth and have made great contributions to humanity, but no one has made the contributions of Jesus, the one who claims to be the light of the entire world, the one who, if he didn't come into this world, the world is a dark dungeon. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the Father, should shine unto them. Jesus is that light. And without him, the only thing you can say about man is he's groping and walking in darkness. Notice what John records of him. Did I give you John 1 and verse number 9? Read John 1 and verse number 9.
That was the true light.
It wasn't John the Baptist. John was a light that made way for the true light. And then there were those who claimed to be lights but were not the light. So the true light in opposition to those lights that are not the light. But yet there are always people who will follow other people and follow these individuals thinking that following them, they're right with God. But there's only one true light. You follow anything else or anyone else outside of Christ, my friends, you follow the wrong thing or the wrong person. There's only one true light, and he says that was the true light that does what?
Which lighteth every man.
Which lighteth, notice, enlightens every man, Jew and Gentile. Jesus came to be a light also unto the Gentiles. That lighteth every man that cometh into the world. My friends, the great benefit for us is what he says in the next part of that verse. He said, I am the light of the world. But read, go back to John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Read the second part of that.
I am the light of the world.
Uh-huh.
He that followeth me
shall not walk in darkness, but shall what?
But shall have the light of life.
Those who follow him no longer walk in error. Are you in error religiously? Think about it. Are you in error religiously? Has it dawned on you that you could be doing many religious things, that you could be a part of a certain religion and be in error? Has that ever occurred to you? That just because you go to church don't make you right? Just because you believe in something don't make your belief right? Just because you do certain things don't make it right with God. Has that ever occurred to you? There was many religions in the world in the time of Jesus. There were many religious folks in the time of Jesus. And when Jesus even came to his own people, the Jews, he found that they was all out of whack. They were all messed up. He came to the very leaders who were leading the nation, the people who were entrusted, who were trusted with authority, and those people had gone away. And Jesus denounces them in Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you are nothing more than hypocrites. Jesus weeps over the condition of his own people in Matthew 23, toward the end of that particular chapter. He weeps over his own people. He is constantly tried and tested and lied upon and challenged by those whom healed his own people. Now the Bible says he came to his own, John 1:11, and his own didn't even receive him. I wonder if Jesus came here today, what state would he find religion in? Has it not become fleshly and worldly? Is it not all about what makes people happy and what they want to do? But the light of the world has come into the world to illuminate the way for every man. To take away the error of religion, the ignorance, and the condemnation that comes with it. That's what the light of the world does. You follow him? You don't have to walk in the darkness of error anymore. We've talked about superstitions and all those kind of things. Do you not know if you believe in that kind of stuff, my friends, that is a strike in the face against God himself? Believing in a rabbit's foot for what? When you have a God who providentially rules over the whole world. Where is your trust? Where is your belief? Where is the conviction of your heart? We should be away from those kind of things. Why? Because the light of the world has come and turned the light on. So I no longer have to be fooled by all of this stuff. The light of the world has come into the world and turned the light on so that no one can just walk in the pulpit and lie to me. All you got to do is just accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior and you will be saved. In what Bible? Tell me where he found it. That's not in here. Because if you say all you have to do, first of all, that's kind of a comprehensive statement. You basically now have encapsulated everything that I need to do in one statement. All you have to do. That'd be just like us saying, all you got to do is be baptized. Now, would that be right, Brother Bob? Absolutely not. So when you start with all you have to do, you've messed up already. You see, the light of the world has come and turned the light on so that you just can't come up before me and tell me all you got to do. I want to know where you read it. Show me that in the book so that I can read it for myself and then know that I could do that or I should do that. And help me get the right context, would you? All you got to do is accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior. Just say the sinner's prayer. No such thing in Scripture. You know why I know that? Because Jesus came and turned the light on. Amen. So now I can see. That's not true. I tell you what Jesus did say. Go ye therefore into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know what? And then the preachers tell you, well, you don't have to be saved in order to be saved. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. It's not essential to your salvation. Where'd you get that? That's not in here. You know why I know? Because the light of the world turned the light on. So that therefore now I don't have to be duped by religious error. I don't have to now continue in my ignorance. I don't have to continue in the way of condemnation. As John revealed later in his epistle, 1 John 1:7, he says, we walk in the light as he is in the light. And you know what? That light is not just for you to gaze upon. That light is for our feet to walk in. Yes. We got to walk in that light. And our word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 and verses 105. In Christ, you can know where you are going and you can see how you can get there. That's the beautiful thing about turning on the light. I know where I'm going. You see, before that, before Jesus turned the light on, who knew where they were going? Mm-mm. You take away Jesus and you tell me where you're going. And then tell me how you're going to get there. You see, we now know where we're going. You know why? He turned the light on. I'm thinking about Jesus, who's telling a story in Luke 16. And verse number 19, he says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And likewise, there was a beggar named Lazarus, who laid at the rich man's gate and desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. More than the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. See, if Abraham afar, Lazarus in his bosom, and cries with a loud voice, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Jesus cut the light on. He showed us what was going on the other side of this life. He turned the light on so you and I could know there is a place you don't want to go. There is a place that if you die outside of Christ and you die unprepared to see God, you go into a place that's called hell, called torment. You go into a place called Hades, where there's a gulf separating you from those who are righteous in Abraham's bosom versus those who are in torment. And that man said, just give me a dip of water so I can cool my tongue. I am tormented, tortured in this flame, waiting for the great judgment where he can be sentenced for all eternity to live apart from God, burning in hell fire. Jesus turned the light on. He told us where we're going. If you don't do this and you don't live for me, this is where you're going. And then he told me, this is how you get there. Just do wrong. Just do wickedly. Just live apart from me. Just don't have faith in me. Go ahead and live according to man. Live your own way. Have your own thoughts. Do your own thing. And that's where you're going. You know exactly where you're going, and you know how to get there because Jesus turned the light on. But on the other hand, he says there is something awaiting those of us who live the righteous life. And he says, there is Abraham's bosom, considered paradise. You can go into this place because Lazarus, though he suffered on this side, now he's comforted. Now he's comforted. And so Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He rose from the grave, so you and I will raise up too. So he turned the light on to an inheritance. That's what we're going to be raised to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. My friends, we know where we're going, and we know we can see how to get there. Why? Because the light of the world turned the light on, and he showed us exactly where we were going in Christ. My friends, Jesus told those disciples in John 14:4, where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And when you possess the only true light and you walk in that light, not only do you know where you're going, not only do you know how to get there, you can see your way, but you become a light bearer to others. When we get illuminated with the light of Christ, then we become little lights as well that shines in a dark place. So Jesus says to his disciples, and the only way they could reflect that light of Christ is because he had chosen them and they had come to him, and now reflecting his light, they were ready to go out into the world. It wasn't their own light, it was his light. And now, my friends, since Christ is the great light that is coming to the world, now he can illuminate us through his light so that we can be a light to others. So you have Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. Jesus tells his disciples, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus made claims, not simply for his own glory, for such as deserve. He is deserving of all the glory for the claims that he could make. And certainly we glorify him and we praise him for what he is able to, what he was able to accomplish. But it's to our glory as well. Wouldn't it be a shame to live in this life, to hear about Jesus, to hear the claims that he made, and then not allow yourself to be benefited by those claims? I am the bread of life. You know what bread does for us? It sustains our physical bodies while we're here. You stay without it long enough, you're going to die. Jesus is the bread of life. He wants to feed your soul. You stay without it, you die spiritually. And you can see exactly where you're going, because that same bread of life turned the light on and told you what's on the other side waiting for you if you die unprepared to see him. So if you're here this morning, Jesus made a couple of claims this morning, and you can be a part of each one. They can benefit you, but they're only going to benefit you as you respond to them through gospel obedience. Here's what the Bible says to you. Believe in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. The Bible says, repent of your sins that sent Jesus to that ugly cross. The Bible says, confess him with the mouth unto salvation. Jesus said, whosoever there shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32. Matthew 10, 9 and 10. Luke 13, 3. Acts 17, 30. I'm just giving you the passage to make sure you know they're in the Bible. Romans 10, 17 for hearing. And then be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Be baptized. Not because you're saved, but in order for you to be saved. You're not saved until you're baptized in Christ. And you're not saved not only with the baptism, but until you confess him to be the Christ. And you're not saved until you repent of your sins that sent him to that cross. And you're not saved unless, my friends, intellectually, you accept and believe the doctrine that he has given. Now, when you do that, according to the scriptures, then you're saved. But if you're one of those people that's in here because someone told you, all you got to do, just let Jesus come in. Just accept him in your heart as your personal Savior. Just touch the television, all that kind of stuff. You're not saved. You still yet your sins because you didn't do what Jesus said to do. Jesus is not going to accept you doing what some man told you to do when he came and cut the light off. Now open up your eyes and see. And come give your life to Christ this morning through gospel obedience. He'll save you. You'll be with him when this life is over. If you need to respond, come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? He is thy.